The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Only one place to start today's program, and that's at Wembley. Arsenal 2, Manchester City 0 in the semi-final of the FA Cup. A brace from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang proven to be the difference between the two sides. Here to discuss the match with me, Shaka Hislop, Don Hutchinson and Stevie Nichols. Stevie, let's start with you. Where did this come from?
Well, you've got to say that Arsenal did something that I really didn't think they were capable of. And as individuals defensively, I didn't think they were capable of it as well. So, I mean, what a performance from a... Okay, you could say at times they had every man behind the ball, but you still got to be in good positions, you still got to make good decisions, and you still got to make smart challenges. And quite frankly, Martinez in goal didn't really have too much to do himself because the men in front of him were so good. At the same time, I think this has to be the worst Man City performance under Pep since he's got there. I mean, it was just awful defensively. Nothing happened very quickly in the middle of the park. And up front, an absolute shadow of a team who we were saying before this game would create chances, but would they be able to take them? Well, you know what? They didn't create anything. And when you don't create, you can't take it. So I think we're going to have to praise Arsenal defensively because we have given them pelters, particularly David Luiz. I've given him a lot of stick. But today I thought he was absolutely immense.
Well, let's stay with the positive, shall we, Stevie, and talk about Arsenal in a little more depth. You were given the task of in the player ratings for Arsenal. Aubameyang, 10 out of 10. David Luiz, 9 out of 10. Tierney, 9. Mustafi, 9. Incredible.
You know what? When you don't make a mistake at all, and when you are one of the main reasons why your team has beaten one of the best, and probably the before this game they were favourites for the Champions League, when you do everything correct, you deserve to get praise. And that's why Mustafi gets 9. Again, I've given Mustafi pelters.
Yep.
He's put a performance in today that he hasn't done in an Arsenal shot for, well, I don't know whether he's ever been as good as he was today.
That's it, isn't it, Shaka? These Arsenal players rising to the occasions, and we have been so critical of them. However, on today's showing, their defence was exceptional.
Yeah, without question, and I totally agree with Steve. I'll go so far as to say, if we were doing those scores in comparison to what we'd seen from Mustafi, Tierney and Luiz over recent weeks, and maybe what we expected, they could quite easily get 13 or 14 out of 10. That's how much better they were. Saying that, I thought, and I was very critical of Arteta recently, and I think he had to bear some of the responsibility for some of their losses. But he got it absolutely right. Back three, none of the three centre-backs tried to do anything special or crazy. It went even a little bit further in David Luiz in the pass that brought about the first goal. For me, I thought Bellerin was simply outstanding. And the role that he played on the right-hand side, which allowed Pepe to either take the wing-back on or go inside, Bellerin was absolutely key to everything about Arsenal. Saying that, it seems unfair to pick out one player over the other, with the exception of Aubameyang for his goals, because everybody did what was asked and everybody did so really well today.
Don, we'll talk about Manchester City in a moment, but continuing that focus on Arsenal, we've talked about the back and how good they were. The goals, though, needed to be scored. Two quality, very different finishes from Aubameyang.
Yeah, the first Aubameyang finish was unreal. I mean, he missed a sitter for his standards just before that, and you wondered, were they going to get another chance, Arsenal? And it was a really unusual technique, but a brilliant finish. Then the second goal, once he's racing away, great ball from Chiarentini over the top. No one's going to catch him. Benjamin Mendy playing him onside, nowhere near high enough. Then once he's away, bearing down on Edison, you only fancied he was going to finish it. There was not a doubt in my mind when he raced through 1v1. I thought he was going to finish it. But I think Arteta simplified it, you know, for his players. He hasn't tried to make Arsenal an open, expansive team because he knows they're not good enough. So he's put them in a defensive shape. Everyone's buying into it. They've done the same game plan against Liverpool, same game plan against Man City. And they made Man City, which we've never said before, look very, very ordinary.
How much of a positive step is this going forward for Arsenal, Stevie?
Listen, if they're going to turn up and play like that every game, then we know what they're capable of. If they're going to defend with 11 men behind the ball. The truth is, Arsenal don't want to be a team that plays against the so-called big, better teams and sticks 11 men behind the ball. That's not what Arteta really wants to do. What he did today was what he had to do. Arsenal going forward have to turn into a Man City or a Liverpool and play open attacking football. That's what they want to be doing. That's what they, and certainly Arteta wants to do. So, listen, it's a one-off. Typical FA Cup tie. The underdog won by sticking men behind the ball. It's happened 100 times before, and it happened today again. But this is not how Arsenal want to play in the future.
But it's effective. We mentioned before they did it against Liverpool, Don. Is this something to build on, or is it a false dawn?
No, I think it's something to build on. I think if you're an Arsenal fan watching that tonight, you'd be optimistic that you can see signs of where they're going. You know, Mesut Ozil's just been cast aside from Arteta. Guendouzi got brought into his office a couple of weeks back, and apparently Arteta gave him 2 minutes, you know, of real verbal abuse and told him to sort his life out. And then he actually went into the dressing room as well and told all the Arsenal players exactly what he said to Guendouzi. So the manager's standing firm in his beliefs, and if everyone or people don't want to follow him, I'm pretty sure he'll be ruthless enough to get them out the door. And that's what we're seeing. For far too long, people like Mesut Ozil and others have had an easy ride at Arsenal. The culture's been terrible. So if you're an Arsenal fan now, you can see people like, you know, Joe Willock coming to the side. I thought Maitland-Niles was excellent tonight, playing in that left wing-back slot. I thought he was immense. Saka, there's loads of young kids that are signing contracts. And I wouldn't say they're dragging their experienced players up, but Lacazette looks fit now. Lacazette wasn't match fit probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. We know Aubameyang's quality, so you can see signs, if you're an Arsenal fan, just for something to cling on to. And when they get results against Liverpool and get results against Man City in a semi-final of a cup, you know, you've got to be optimistic.
Final word on this with you, Shaq.
Absolutely. I think this is something for Arsenal to build on. Listen, Liverpool continue to be the best team in English football, if not Europe, by asking their front three to carry a heavy load. I know there's a far better supporting cast, but in Arsenal's case, probably their best and highest paid players are the attacking three. And I think what Arteta did today was send them out and say, you carry that load, and say to the defense and the midfield, you all just stay behind the ball and get those guys to earn their money. And I think that's what they did. That's something you can build on. As I say, it's a long way between where they are now, even with this performance, and where Liverpool are. But it also is a long way from what we've seen from Arsenal over recent weeks.
Right, let's move on to Manchester City then, shall we? Why were they so bad today, Stevie?
Do you know, Dan, every team, no matter how good they are, has a day when, as an attacking force, just do every single thing wrong and come up against a good defence. It happens. And so if I'm Pep Guardiola, I can justify having a day like that because it happens to everybody. What I can't justify is, once again, defensively, an absolute shambles. We spoke 2 or 3 weeks ago about this, saying that, does he actually understand that defending's part of the game, and if you lose goals, you can't always win games? Well, we saw again today that clearly he does nothing on the training field as far as defending concerned. Mendy playing Aubameyang on, the two centre-backs too wide apart. Kyle Walker doesn't even know that Aubameyang's there on the first goal. I mean, just you could spend half an hour talking about the things that Manchester City do wrong defensively. So, as far as attacking goes, it happens. But defensively, well, it happens, but it happens to them every time they step on the field. They look vulnerable.
And that is epitomised by your mark, Stevie. Benjamin Mendy getting one, the centre-backs getting five apiece, Walker getting four. In fact, nobody getting higher than a six, and that's for Ederson.
Well, Ederson made a save from Aubameyang, that's why he got six. But the rest weren't of the races. I've just told you that defensively, a shambles, nothing happening in the middle of the park. De Bruyne got, actually, De Bruyne was lucky to get a four. This is the worst performance I've seen from him. I bet you if you look at the stats, he passed the ball to a red jersey more than he did a blue jersey today. And considering the praise that we give this guy and have given him, you know, how he's in the top five in the world and he could win the Premier League Player of the Year, you know, when you turn in a performance like that in a big game, then you deserve to get all the stick that you get, and he deserves every bit of it.
Don Stevie said this is a one-off, but there were signs, weren't they, second half against Bournemouth. Manchester City looked pretty terrible. They just didn't look at the races again today.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about them. It's hard to put a finger on why they're so poor, because we're talking about people like Kevin De Bruyne, who is one of the best midfield players in world football, and he had an absolute shocker today. Benjamin Mendy at left back when Angelino's out on loan at RB Leipzig. I'm not convinced in Mendy. I'm pretty sure Pep's not neither. When you look at the top end of the pitch, Raheem Sterling was poor for his standards today. Now, Jesus is trying to lead the line, and I'm not convinced that Man City can get where they want to be without Aguero. So he's missing until the start of next season through his injury and his operation. So they've got a real task on if they're going to convince anyone they can win the Premier League. So I don't know if it was a one-off. I've seen them against Southampton a couple of weeks back when they were absolutely brilliant but didn't get anything from the game, but they were just missing chances and Southampton were putting their bodies on the line. I didn't really see that today. You know, Arsenal had to put bodies on the line at times, but their defensive shape was excellent, where they had the three centre-halves, the two wing-backs really narrow. And for Man City, they just absolutely ran out of ideas.
And that's interesting, isn't it, Shaq? Because Pep Guardiola, you know, put on this pedestal as one of the best coaches in the world. Second half, ball comes in, headed out. Ball comes in, headed out. Try and break it down, long shot from Laporte. We didn't really see anything particularly inventive. Is that harsh because Arsenal would put so many people behind the ball, or should Pep have done something different?
Listen, at the same time, Arsenal have to get praised for what they did defensively and how they set their stall out and how disciplined they were. But you're right. You expect more from City, certainly in terms of their own creativity. And as much as I was criticising Arteta not so long ago, I think Pep Guardiola didn't do an awful lot in terms of changing things up and trying to break things down. When have we... Well, we've been able to say for some time that Jesus is not really a direct replacement for Kun Aguero. That was on display again. But when in the past have we been able to see that Sterling, Mahrez and De Bruyne all had as poor days as they did? It's just something you don't normally see. And in all honesty, in defense of Guardiola, who I was criticizing a moment ago, how do you cater for that? And what do you do to adjust when those three players are having the days that they have? But Stevie's also right in pointing out how poor they are defensively. Look at Kyle Walker's body shape when the ball comes over for the cross for the first goal. That's defending 101. And then in the second goal, first of all, you're playing this ridiculously high line against a team with Aubameyang in it. Mendy's dropping deep. Rodrigo is in no position at all to cover Laporte for that ball from Tierney. That's the coach's job, to work those things out in the training ground beforehand. So as much as we may offer Guardiola an excuse in terms of the performances from the front four, I think there's a lot that he should have done better on the training ground, and maybe changes he could have made in freshening things up and giving City some more ideas on the day.
Stevie?
I mean, if we're talking about City as a defensive unit, I don't really... I mean, I'm criticising Pep because I don't see any change in it. But you know what? The players that he has can't defend. You know, you're talking about Mendy there. That first goal, any proper fullback that watched this game will tell you that that's Mendy's fault. Because as a fullback, your job, first and foremost, is to stop the cross. And Mendy has no idea how to do that. He doesn't realise he has to get closer. And I don't think there's anybody else on City staff defensively that he could try. I think he's tried everything. So he's stuck with what he's got defensively.
Real Madrid would have enjoyed that, wouldn't they, Don?
Oh, they'd be absolutely loving that. And I think it'll prove to everyone that this City side, and we've seen it, you know, at the start of the season, they're not invincible. They've lost that little bit of aura that they had last season where, you know, when you play Man City, you do well to take a point. If you play Man City, you do well not to get beat 4-5s and Watford's been spanked by an 8. I look at City now and I think other Premier League teams and teams like Real Madrid with their firepower, and they will say, we'll get chances. Now, City on any given day could be anyone 5-4, they're that type of side. But Stevie and Xhaka are right. They're so vulnerable at the back. You can't win, I would imagine, the Champions League if you're going to offer two goals away to the very best teams. You know, it's nigh and impossible. They've got to tighten up. And, you know, when you look at the individuals, people like John Stones, I know he's had his injuries, but he's not really a defender. He's a ball-playing centre-half. Otamendi's always had a mistake in him. You know, that's why Fernandinho had to go and play centre-half. So if you're Real Madrid and you're thinking, if we can get at this City side, if you don't leave ourselves too open ourselves, because City, you know, are capable of scoring goals, even though they're behind in the tie, you'd still lean towards Real Madrid.
You know, when Edison signed for Manchester City, For a good 12 months, 18 months, every time somebody went through on him, I thought he was going to save everything. He's now in a position where I don't remember him making saves.
Oh, he made a save today early Aubameyang on, Steve, didn't he? He denied Aubameyang early
Hold on. Whoa. Cool your jets. The Aubameyang shot is actually straight at him. The other two, he never got anywhere close to them. But as I said, I'm watching it, and that's the first thing that came to my head. You know, Don said that when Aubameyang was going through, he 100% fancied him. I used to be the other way. I used to be 100% fancy. Edison's going to stop this. Kind of how I feel about Alisson right now. So, just another one. The guy who saved them when he came to the club for any mistakes isn't doing it either.
Xhaka, Stevie's saying Edison not even a top 10 goalkeeper these days. Do you agree?
Oh, man. I'm so glad to hear exactly what Stevie said. But listen, Edison's still one of the best in the league, no question. But I do understand what Stevie is saying. And it just goes to show, and Edison's not the first time, and City not the first team we've said it about, you can't just go about your business relying on your goalkeeper to save you every single day. Eventually, that's going to catch up with you. And that's what you're seeing now.
Manchester United and Chelsea, I imagine, would have certainly taken this result if you offered them at the start of the day. They, of course, face off on Sunday in the semi-finals. Let's get some quick predictions, shall we? Xhaka, let's start with you.
Well, seeing that I said that City would beat Arsenal 100%, no question, and then Chelsea would do the same with Manchester United, I'm going to have to go against myself totally here. And I feel that United are going to buck my trend of being 100% wrong.
Good. Top analysis, as always, Xhaka. You can't expect goalkeepers to make saves, and I'm going to completely change my mind. Right. So United's going through for Xhaka.
What a lame excuse.
Stevie.
Well, actually, I hate to say it, but I'm thinking along the lines of Xhaka here. I said that Arsenal would get annihilated. They wouldn't have a chance. So I'm going Chelsea, because I think Man United will win. So I'm going to go for Chelsea.
What's happening? Right,
there you go. Top class analysis for you.
Yes, they do get paid for this.
So I started off saying... I started off saying City would be... And then once they... Yeah. And I said... Right, and after Chelsea would beat.
Yes. Right, Don. Don's going to say West Ham top four.
West Ham top four. Listen, I worked with Xhaka the other night and we both went Chelsea. Right, we both went Chelsea. I'm going to go Man United because I've got no idea what's happening. I don't know what's happening anymore. I've got no idea. I don't know what the teams are going to be. I think Ollie's going to rest some. Frank's having a little bit of a crisis of confidence. I've got no... It's a 4-4 draw and no one goes through. Wait, give it to Arsenal.
Why is Ollie resting players in FA Cup semi-final?
Because he wants top four.
What have they got?
Aston Villa
they've got next?
What?
No, they've got West Ham.
West Ham, there you go. West Ham would be partying for 72 hours.
But then they're gearing for that Leicester game on the final day of the season. I'll guarantee you, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't go full strength.
Of course he goes full strength, Don.
Well, I'm telling you he won't. I'm telling you he won't.
Go on, have a bet.
Oh, that's it. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. More from Don and Xhaka on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Let's focus on Italy now, shall we? AC Milan with a massive 5-1 victory over Bologna to close the gap on Roma to 1 point. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, shall we talk about Atalanta against Hellas Verona? Gab Marcotti with us. Gab, Atalanta can only manage a 1-1 draw. The wheels are coming off. It's all over.
Yeah, clearly. Two draws in a row, 4 points dropped. Sack Gasperini. No, look, at some point, this is obviously going to catch up with them. And look, Verona are a really good side. They're on the top of the table. They play actually, in some ways, quite a similar style to Atalanta with the high pressing. They'll outrun you. They'll make life difficult for you. And, you know, in this case, Atalanta took the lead and couldn't hang on.
Meanwhile, Gab, AC Milan flying, it seems, after the break. 5 goals today, 5 different goal scorers.
Yeah, and none of them named Zlatan, remarkably. Look, Bologna are an attacking side. There, they will give you space, and Milan exploited it. Milan played really, really well, top to bottom. I thought Frank Kessié in midfield is back to the player he was probably before he joined Milan, when he was still at Atalanta. Funnily enough, Bennacer, tremendous effort, tremendous goal. Ante Rebic up front, I'm glad he got a goal because he was involved in just about everything they did. They looked lively, they looked motivated, and they're definitely a team on a roll. And, you know, they're right there in Roma's taillights.
Where does this put Stefano Pioli overall, Gav?
Well, look, the situation really hasn't changed. If anything, there's going to be more skepticism about Ralf Rangnick. Personally, I think, you know, if you're a club, if you make a decision, you gotta go in wholeheartedly. Now, as I understand it, and as I've reported before, Rangnick wants to come in and he wants to kind of be an old school sort of English style manager, a position which weirdly doesn't really exist much in the Premier League anymore. But he wants to be in charge of recruitment, so be director of football type. He did a great job for the Red Bull organization doing that. But he also wants to go back to manage and be there on the sidelines. And I think if the club want to get him, and, you know, it's not, as I understand it, nothing has been signed yet. They've had talks and there's an agreement in principle, but he wants both jobs. And that means that there's no room for Stefano Pioli in that mix. I think PR-wise, it's going to make it a lot harder for the club. But, you know, really, if Rangnick comes in and hits the ground running and signs good players and replicates even a portion of the job that he did at Red Bull, then I think people will forget about Stefano Pioli pretty quickly.
Yeah, that kind of answers my question, because I'm just wondering what the fan base are feeling about all of this at the moment.
Fan base are conflicted. Stefano Pioli is a very likable guy. He's a safe pair of hands. That's why he was brought in. I think the team have really taken to him. You know, the bar was set pretty low by Giampaolo, but you're seeing what this team can do and what this team was supposed to do, you know, in the summer with the signings that were made by the club. I think a big part of the media and a big part of the sort of the Milan ex players who gravitate around the club and who opine on television, a lot of them feel that, oh no, you should stick with Pioli. Equally, if keeping Pioli means you can't have Rangnick, I'm pretty sure the club will go with Rangnick.
Finally, Gab, I hear it's your day off tomorrow, so I won't have the opportunity to look ahead
to that big game between Juventus and Lazio. Our one last hope, I suppose, that maybe we could have a little bit of a title race at the end. Lazio, though, have been so rubbish at the moment, and you wouldn't really put anything on them. But you never know. We maybe could have said that ahead of the Arsenal game today. Lazio to spring a surprise?
You know what? I wouldn't put it past them, because I think at this stage of the season, when your nerves are as frayed as Juve's nerves are right now, and the reality is, you know, this might have been unthinkable in Allegri's time, but this is a different Juve. This is a much more fragile Juve. And I think this is a Juve where a lot of the players, not Cristiano Ronaldo, but a lot of the other guys are going to look up. They're going to see those Lazio shirts. They're going to see Luis Alberto. And they're going to be like, oh, my God, these are the guys who've already beaten us twice this season. And equally from Lazio's perspective, okay, there's probably not going to be a title race involving you. You've still had a great season. But what better way than to go out and beat Juve for a third time, if you count the Super Cup? So I don't think Inzaghi is going to have any issues motivating them. I think this is going to be a real, real test for Maurizio Sarri, and not just him, because we've made it all about him, but really for some of the veterans, some of these older players on these on this team, whether it's Bonucci, whether it's Chiellini, who probably won't start, but is still there in the mix. You know, this is a team that needs to be taken by the scruff of the neck, and they need to say, look, remember who we are, let's go, and let's just see this out. And really, this is a game where I think you're going to need to see that leadership.
Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much for your thoughts. That game, by the way, is live on Monday on ESPN Plus at 3:45. Meanwhile, tomorrow, we've got six games for you in total from Italy, all ending with that big one in Rome as Roma take on Inter Milan.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Leeds United are not only automatically promoted to the Premier League, but do so as champions as Brentford. Huge shock today, losing 1-0 to struggling Stoke, meaning that West Brom take the initiative as to who will be joining Leeds in the Premier League. Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Don, back to the show. Don, let's touch on Leeds first. Everywhere you look, I feel, the last 24 hours, people have been talking about what a big deal this is.
It is, because when teams come up from the Championship into the Premier League, you're welcome into the Premier League and you wonder how they're going to do. And then once in a while, a team like Leeds come back up, who we all know is a gigantic football club. I mean, a huge, huge football club. And we all are so glad that they're back, because Elland Road will be full if there's fans in the stadium next season. It'll be chocker, chocker, chocker. And hopefully, with a manager like Bielsa, it's going to be interesting times, because he is very unusual. You know, I read Rigo Sacchi and Pochettino and Pep Guardiola all go and seek his advice, and he's very easy in giving his advice. And you just get a sense. You get a sense as a fan. You get a sense as an ex-player who's played against Leeds over the years that they are so huge, and it's great news that they're back.
But doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be successful. Villa, for example, came up. Everyone was like, oh, it's good to have a big club like Aston Villa returning to the Premier League. But we see how they've struggled.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic for Leeds fans. I think they'll go the other way, and I think they'll be a Sheffield United. I think with Bielsa in charge, whose tactics are really, really unusual, I see them, with a little bit of investment, of course, I see them kicking on next season. You know, the normal rhetoric is when you come back into the Premier League, you would take fourth bottom. Bielsa doesn't stand for fourth bottom. He wants to try and finish high up in the league as possible. And I think they might achieve that, depending on which players, obviously, they bring in. But I certainly look at Leeds going more Sheffield United than Aston Villa.
Meanwhile, Brentford be absolutely kicking themselves, aren't they? Stoke City, losing against them, considering the run they've put together to be able to take on West Brom, to put themselves in the driving seat. Now they're back to focusing on the playoffs, surely.
It must be devastating for them because they move into a brand new stadium in the summer. So they were hoping, and obviously they still can do it via the playoffs, that they're hoping for Premier League football. So I think the run that they've been on, 8 straight wins, I just thought, when you look at the opposition today, Stoke, who have been struggling, not a great side, not got loads of confidence, it looked, the form that they've been in, like a routine win, but they sort of choked. Apparently they didn't play well. Created one or two chances at the end, but they've got to now kick on and refocus and try and finish that the last game of the season strongly with momentum going into the playoffs.
Don, as always, thank you very much. Leeds United then in action as champions tomorrow, taking on Derby County. Interesting twist to this tie. Remember Spygate last season, where Leeds were found guilty of spying on Derby's tactics at training? Well, Derby will have to give them a guard of honour as they go out to kick off this game. You can see it all unfold 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a reminder then, that second semi-final from Wembley in the FA Cup, Manchester United against Chelsea, live on ESPN Plus at 1 p.m. Eastern. Now, half an hour before kickoff, be sure to go to YouTube, Facebook or Twitter, wherever you prefer, for our FA Cup countdown special. Kane Murray joined by Stevie and Craig to look ahead to that game. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who's been with us. Stay tuned, though. Don and Shaka answering your tweets on Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop and Don Hutchison. Don, what a day you had in Norwich.
Oh, amazing day. It was the worst game I've ever seen in my life for 25 minutes. It was a banker 0-0 draw. Then Norwich lost all their discipline. Two men sent off and an own goal sums their season up.
Wow. Right then, would you rather win the FA Cup or finish top four if you could only pick one, Shaq?
Ooh. Win the FA Cup for me. I'm old school.
Yeah, as a player?
Yeah, listen, there's something about lifting a trophy that, listen, I understand the importance of Champions League and all that right now, but as a player, there's something about lifting silverware that just a top four finish doesn't emulate.
Did you ever come close, Shaq? That's mean. That's mean, Dad. It got closer than me, you should say, Shaq.
Just move on, Dan. Move on.
Don?
Well, if you ask what West Ham are going to do next season, it's a choice between top four or FA Cup. And both are on the cards, by the way, as we stand now.
Now with Moyes. Yeah.
But definitely, definitely, definitely FA Cup.
What's the closest you've got, Don?
When you retire, you want to look at that medal and you want to know that you've won an FA Cup. Not say I've finished in the top four.
What's the closest you got in the FA Cup, Don? Did you ever get near?
I think I got to the quarters and then lost against Villa or Everton.
Oh, one of the really paid attention. Shaq, did you have a runners-up medal? Where's your runners-up medal? Did you bin it?
I have no idea.
Yeah?
I have no idea where it is. No idea.
After his performance today, does it look like a smart decision for Arsenal to extend David Luiz's contract? Don?
Here we go. Couple of good performances, then all of a sudden give him a new contract. I mean, he'll be good for the dressing room, and if Arteta's going to play three at the back, play him, because it's not rocket science. If you're playing David Luiz, you play him in a three because he's going to make a mistake, and you're going to have centre-halves alongside him who can get him out of jail. Yes, give him a new deal, but anything after that, I think it's risky.
How impressed is Xhaka with Emi Martinez stepping in and playing so well?
Oh, he's been outstanding. He has been simply outstanding to the point where right now, if you're Bernd Leno, you're looking on, you know, just wondering what's for you. Because, I mean, the team's played well. He's kept clean sheets. He's better with the ball at his feet. There's been a couple of hairy moments today, but he looks confident. As I say, if you're Bernd Leno and you're seeing that, as much as they've paid for you and you've been the number one for quite some time, I'm not so sure you're that comfortable right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's an argument, is there? Martinez is the better goalkeeper, isn't he, Don?
I think so. He made a great save for Mahrez, didn't he, down at his left-hand side when Mahrez chopped in. It's a bit like the conversation we had before. When you look at Martinez, I mean, I'm not sure where he come from. I'd not seen him play before he came to Arsenal. But since he's gotten the side, whether the defenders in front of him make him look secure, but I don't really see him making too many mistakes. He looks as though he's the best number one for me.
OK, then. Should Juventus sack Sarri, Don, if they don't win the Champions League?
Well, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? That is a little bit harsh. I mean, Sarri's been there 1 year and going to win the league. I know it's sort of Juventus' holy grail, and that's what they want, and that's what they pride themselves on. But at least give him a little bit of time.
Martinez was at Reading before, Shaq. Your old hunting ground.
Oh, he's quite clearly trying to follow in my footsteps, Dan. I thought so.
Well, let's hope he doesn't replicate your FA Cup final performance. What do you think, Sarri? Should you sack him, Shaq?
Why are you like that, Dan? I'm enjoying my Saturday. You keep bringing up the FA Cup.
Mean-spirited. No, you know, little man syndrome, bullied as a child, not hugged enough.
Oh, man. what did you ask me? I can't remember what you asked me now. What did you say?
Sarri, sack him or not?
I don't know. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care anymore, Dan.
Right.
I've lost my will to live, Dan, because of you.
All right, Shaq, goodness me.
That's a bit harsh.
Okay, final. I like these questions. Shaq, what did you buy with your first paycheck?
My first paycheck?
Yeah, would have been for Reading, yeah?
Yeah, it would have been for Reading. Was that 400 quid a week? I didn't buy a whole lot.
Oh.
Put a down payment on an apartment. That's about it. I rented a place. All my money basically went to rent. Didn't have much help.
Don, however, would have got lots of money because he was at that kind of golden age, wasn't he, where it was all the TV money was starting to drip through.
Yeah, golden age. My first wage was £27.50 at Hartlepool.
Wow.
The golden age. And then I went to Liverpool and went from £27.50 to £500 a week.
Big time.
And then you the big life.
And you then got to room with Stevie Nicol. What a moment.
I was on more than Stevie Nicol. And I got a nice little 3-series BM. It was beautiful.
Did you?
You've still got BMW now, innit? You keep putting over Instagram trying to get freebies.
I drive a BMW, but I wish it was free.
Well,
I'm trying to look after the planet. It's a hybrid.
But you keep posting about it on Insta as if you're trying to get a little...
I'm not posting on it. When was the last time I put that car on Instagram?
How do I know that you've got that car then?
It has been on Instagram.
Yes,
it's not
exactly.
All over Instagram.
Going, oh, I love this car. Thank you, BMW.
I'm going to go shoot the breeze with Frank Lampard in my BMW. Yeah.
Actually, it was Lee Dixon today. Norwich.
Lampard's at his house going, oh, that BMW's outside again. Why has he got some
actually, David Moyes got it the other night. He got a text last night wishing him all the best.
Oh, they're all getting it. Moyes, Lee Dixon, they're all Frank Lampard. All of them blocking you on Insta.
I just send it to every Premier League manager. I just send it to everyone hoping for one response.
Yeah. Yeah, Moisey, I imagine, would be responsive. That is it. Thank you very much, guys. We will be back tomorrow for more. Keep your tweets coming in. Until then, goodbye.